Move Forward Radio is brought to you by ChoosePT.com, the official consumer information website of the American Physical Therapy Association. Find a physical therapist near you at ChoosePT.com.
Welcome to Move Forward Radio. I'm Eric Reese. When George Floyd died under the knee of a Minneapolis police officer, Terry Willis was spurred to action. His goal was to help call attention to racial injustice in America and the need for reforms. He wanted to help ensure that Floyd had not died in vain. Terry decided he'd walk from his home state of Alabama to the spot in Minnesota where Floyd had taken his final breath. The distance was 1,000 miles. Terry, a master carpenter, not an athlete, hadn't trained for such a physically demanding undertaking. As a black man, though, he knew that he could have been George Floyd. Terry wanted to show his young son that taking action could help America change for the better. He felt that God was on his side. Also on his side was Tamika Duncan, a physical therapist who learned that Terry would be walking through her town of Clarksville, Tennessee. She offered to treat him for a limp she'd noticed while watching him online. She would end up helping Terry not only in Clarksville, but also later in his walk, and the two would form a special bond. In this episode of Move Forward Radio, Terry talks about his multi-week journey, the nationwide attention he attracted, and the ways he's using his public platform to keep working for change, justice, and equality. Tamika shares her perspectives as a caregiver and as an ally in Terry's quest for a better America, in which high-quality health care should be equally accessible to all. Here's our conversation with Terry and Tamika. Terry Willis and Tamika Duncan, thank you for joining us today on Move Forward Radio. Terry, your 1,000-mile walk for change, equality, and justice started on June the 2nd in Huntsville, Alabama, where you live and own a carpentry business, and it concluded on July the 12th at the site of George Floyd's death at the knee of a Minneapolis policeman. Your journey received national attention, and it also was your springboard toward creating a nonprofit organization to help teach a trade to people who've been incarcerated or involved in the juvenile justice system. We'll get to the walk and to your activities in a minute, but first of all, you've told the media that as a black man and a father, you felt you must undertake this journey to help create a better future for your son, and that justice is deeply personal to you as someone who could have been George Floyd. Most people respond to injustice with despair and or anger, but don't typically take action. So my first question to you, Terry, is what motivated you to bring attention to the problems you see in this particular way with this particular walk?
So first of all, Eric, let me clear it up. I'm from Lansing, Michigan, but I do live in Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay.
I decided to walk from Huntsville, Alabama because of the support and love that I got from my friends and brothers over at Pacific Factory on Jordan Lane.
We want to give props to Montgomery.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give props to Pacific Factory on Jordan Lane. Those are my brothers. Each of those 8 guys took the first 20 steps with me, and when I reached my destination, they were there as well. So I want to give respect, love for those guys. As far as what inspired me was watching a man get murdered by the cops, it triggered every emotion possible. It was just something, once I seen it, and I said, well, listen, let me do something. What can I do? So I thought of the most extreme thing, and that was walking 1,000 miles across the country. I felt like if I did that, it would bring awareness. Not mine, but our voices will be heard, and we'll see change. George Floyd being murdered inspired a lot of people to do a lot of things. I've always told people, you know, I'm not a judgmental guy. So if a lot of people doing this, if a lot of people doing that, I am Terry Willis, and this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to protest and walk 1,000 miles across the nation. Yeah, there might be some people over there damaging things and doing all this, but I also want to let you know that we're still strong, and we can still do what we need to do to make the necessary change. So while they were over there doing that, I was over here doing this, and I wanted to show them we don't have to act that way, but it's a lot of people that are choosing to. Because let's be honest, Eric, they're sick and tired. I mean, they're being smacked in the face for 300 years, even longer than that. When do you finally smack back? this younger generation, they're not us. So they see things different and they react to things differently. I told the news, I said, I see a lot of people following down the footsteps of Malcolm X, and he was a more physical man. And I said, well, listen, since they're doing that, I want to bring back Martin Luther King, and he's more of a non-physical man, silently protesting, silently walking, marching. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show the nation that we can do both. We don't have to act like that. We're mm-hmm. choosing to, because you guys aren't hearing us. Well, let me take that back. You're hearing us, but you're not listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm marching for change, justice, and equality. The biggest question is, why did you even have to walk for that? The fact that I had to walk just to be seen as an equal human being in this country is unbelievable. And that's the question that nobody ever asked me.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about the walk. Why did you walk? I'm walking just so I and my people can be treated as equals. That's it. It's so simple, Eric. It's so simple that I shouldn't even have to walk 1,000 miles across this country for that.
Well, and it seems to me, too, that a big part of your message is the dignity of the individual, that everyone should be seen as an individual. And here you were doing this solitary thing for 1,000 miles. It seems kind of symbolic of that in a way.
Indeed. But I still think about it. And it was something that my entire life I was preparing for this journey.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, I'm not a religious man. I'm a very, very spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to my God. I'm at peace when I walk. I wasn't prepared for this journey. I didn't train. And Tamika knows. I didn't train. I didn't do anything. I'm a regular, normal guy. I'm not a superhero. They walk up to me, call me Jesus. I'm not that. I am Terry Willis. I'm not an activist. It's the labels that people in America, well, not even America, that people in the world put on people. We need to drop the labels. And another label is he's black, he's white, he's brown. Drop the labels. We're all human beings. We're all human beings. I am Terry Willis, a master carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
I ran my company. I've been doing this. I watched a man get murdered by the people who are supposed to protect us. I was just talking to a good friend of mine, Shaheed Spence, who's sitting next to me right now, and he's driving me on this 80-city tour. And we were discussing the fact that we have to bring awareness. I'm in Las Vegas right now, and along my journey, God has told me to go and pay respect to people. I'm not going to say black, white, doesn't matter, to people who have lost their life in custody to a police officer. So Byron Williams, who lost his life in Las Vegas because he did not have a light on his bicycle, he screamed, "I can't breathe," 17 times, and they still killed that man.
Hmm.
God told me to walk to the exact location where he lost his life and pray and pay my respect. A lot of people wasn't even aware of that. So it has altered. My journey has, and I am starting to see that it's way bigger than me. It's bigger than anything I've ever done in my entire life.
I just wanted to ask, not to get bogged down in logistics, but you had this idea for a walk. How did that translate to you kind of having a team of people helping you out and being able to get food and shelter along the way? I mean, how easy or difficult was it to kind of organize this?
Eric, it wasn't organized the first 1,000 miles. After the first 200 or 300, I and the people, okay, for the record, and I'll give a shout out, because these people were called to help me do this. First of all, it was Fred Williams. He rode the first 500 miles. In between that, I think about 200 miles, my cousin Sherry. She's the mastermind. She's the brain behind everything. She has mapped this thing out and coordinated this thing to the team. And she's been my backbone through this entire journey. We met Tamika in Clarksville, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Clarksville, Tennessee.
Clarksville, Tennessee. And I think that was like my third or fourth day walking.
Mm-hmm.
And Tamika, oh man, she's been a blessing. She's definitely been a blessing. I didn't think that I needed the advice or the service that Tamika was providing, but during my walk, she absolutely showed me that I did need that.
Can I step in there for a second, Tamika? Let me ask you. You detected something in the way Terry was walking that apparently Terry wasn't aware of or didn't feel like was that big a deal. Can you tell me what you saw and sort of how you became aware of his walk in the first place?
Yeah. So I became aware of Terry's walk. I literally logged onto Facebook one morning and I was being tagged by several different people.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of reference to this video of him walking. And of course, at the time, I didn't know what it was, who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of did some research and I saw that, wow, this man is walking from Huntsville, Alabama to Minneapolis. And at the time he had just passed Nashville and he was walking into Pleasant View, which is about driving. It's probably about 20 or so minutes from me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming to Clarksville. So I was like, oh, wow, okay, he's going to be here in Clarksville. So that was my initial thought, like, and I was in awe, like, man, this man is doing this. But then, of course, as a PT, PTs, we're trained. I tell people all the time, I don't have to put hands on you. I can just watch you move. And, I kind of just know what I need to look at or assess. So watching him walk, you know, just the PT in me, I could see like, oh my gosh, he's hurting. It's either his leg, his feet are hurting,
mm-hmm.
his hips, something is going on. But I could definitely tell that he was hurting just based on the way he was walking.
Mm-hmm.
And just he had a walking stick, so you know, just using that. So just watching his walking pattern,
mm-hmm.
I knew he was hurting. But then at the same time, knowing that he was coming into Clarksville, immediately after that, I really had this very strong conviction to offer my service. And so kind of like Terry mentioned earlier, he said he really didn't plan anything. People were really called to join
yeah.
him and help him on this
yeah.
journey. I felt like I was being called to serve this man. And I just kept telling people, I don't know him from Adam, but I know my mission is to help serve him while he is here, and then as he completes this journey. So,
mm-hmm.
really, I learned about him through a Facebook post, through
mm-hmm.
being tagged on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And so you worked with him there in Clarksville, and Terry, I understand that the Tamika's therapeutic touch was so effective that you actually fell asleep at one point while she was treating you. So could you talk a little bit about working with Tamika and sort of what she was able to help you with?
All right, so I want to be honest for the fact. I really didn't feel like I needed it, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
And she never gave up because, like she said, she knew something was wrong just by looking at me. I didn't. I was just walking. So it was sometimes during the trip, because Tamika even flew out. What was that, Chicago?
St. Louis.
St. Louis. She flew out, treated me in St. Louis. She's just been there anytime I've turned around. She was there. Every step, she was there. But I do appreciate everything that you did for me on my journey. Without you, I don't know if I would have made that.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And when I look back on it now, her services really did help me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't think I needed them, she knew what I needed.
You weren't in any kind of pain?
I was sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking one day, and I think I might have hurt my ankle a little bit. And I believe that was in St. Louis. And she treated me at the room. And we're talking. And she's putting tape and everything on me. And it's like, I don't know, 9 o'clock. I'm so
mm-hmm.
exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just done. And I remember talking to her, watching her tape my ankle. And I just woke up in the morning. She was gone. I didn't know where I was. It was, but I had tape. She finished doing what she was doing, and when I woke up, I was like, man, what just happened? But my ankle was taped up, my leg, my calf was taped up. She was gone. I didn't know where anybody was. I didn't know where I was.
Mm-hmm.
But then I came to, and then we started walking the next day. and I felt perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. It was just like overnight, I was healed. I was healed overnight from my God and her services. What she did, it helped me, and I appreciate her.
So Terry, let me clarify here. I mean, for our listeners, you treated Terry actually in two different places, in Clarksville, Tennessee, where you live and you have a practice, and then also in St. Louis. So can you talk about what you were helping Terry with those two times? And also, there's an interesting story to your treating Terry in St. Louis, so I want you to talk about that as well.
Okay, yeah. So Clarksville, when he first came to Clarksville, at the time I didn't know, again, I was not familiar with the story. I wasn't really familiar with, the journey. Like, I wasn't familiar with a lot. So I didn't know if he was going to stay in Clarksville, but it was just, hey, we're here and we're going to keep moving. So the first time in treating him, really the first time, like within my practice, I offer something called a performance recovery session. Mm-hmm. And it's really where I'm just, doing some good manual therapy work, whether that be, soft tissue work, kind of mimicking massage, joint mobilization, stretching, just doing what the body needs. And so that first time I really just went from head to toe, just, went from his neck all the way down to his feet. That's where he fell asleep. Yeah. that's where he fell asleep that first time. And that one, because again, at that time I didn't know. It was just like, let me just do what I can, because again, I didn't know if they were going to stay or leave that night or the next day. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to do something to just try to provide some aspect of recovery.
Right.
However, they ended up staying an extra day or so. And so the next day he walked from Clarksville and he crossed over into Kentucky, and the Kentucky line is not that far from us, but he walked over and crossed into Kentucky. And so after that night they stayed in Clarksville again, and I let him know, hey, I'm available, before you guys head out, I'm available to work on you one more time. And again, that second treatment was more or less the same thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, in working with him that first time, I kind of eyeballed some things that I probably needed to focus on a little bit more, which were his ankle, the lower leg, ankle, calf. So I really just did like a performance recovery session just to increase some blood flow, get things feeling better, improve his mobility so he would be on his way as mm-hmm. he continued the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got the call probably like a week later to go to St. Louis. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm definitely going to do this. But then, so of course the excitement of, oh, absolutely. Like, it's a no brainer. I'm going to go. But then the reality of things set in. It's like, wait a minute. As much as I'm offering the service, I'm not licensed to practice in Missouri, mm-hmm. And so that was a barrier. So literally I got the call on Wednesday night and I was super excited. And then later that night, that's when the reality hit, like, oh my gosh, I need to get licensed to practice in Missouri. And so physics, our profession, we have something called the PT Compact. And basically what that is, it's where joining states, they basically have an agreement with one another that you can take, for some, you can take their jurisprudence exam and then pay a fee to then basically practice within that state. And so
you have to be a participating state, but there are a lot of them in the compact now.
Yes. I think right now they're 21. So
yeah.
Tennessee and Missouri are a part of that. So
mm-hmm.
that's how I was able to get licensed in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So I got licensed that Thursday and I flew out Friday to Missouri.
And what did you find? What did Terry need help with when you got there?
So the biggest issue was his ankle, his foot. So surprisingly, okay, so the biggest thing Terry could probably ask you, I kept asking him, are your hips hurting? Is your back hurting? Like, are your knees hurting?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, it's just my ankle. It's just my ankle. And it was really more so he was just, of course, I mean, he walked that much. He was developing a blister on his foot.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly, nothing else was bothering him, which baffled me. So really, Missouri, again, I said a big portion of our skill set as PTs is really assessing and watching. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I did in Missouri was just monitoring him, making sure he was fine. And then when things settled down that evening, I was able to address the ankle, mm-hmm. and to try to do some things to provide a little bit more support for him in that regard.
A quick break to encourage you to move. Physical activity is associated with a reduced risk of chronic disease, not to mention improved bone health, cognitive function, weight control, and overall quality of life. Simply put, more movement is the gateway to better health. Need some help to get going? Physical therapists are movement experts who use exercise, hands-on care, and patient education to help you meet your goals. You can contact a PT directly for an evaluation. Learn more and find a physical therapist near you at choosept.com.
So, Terry, you did continue your walk at that point, to make a long story short, I mean, I don't think I'm giving away the lead here, but you did ultimately make it to the spot where George Floyd was killed. Can you talk about the scene and your emotions as you finally neared your destination after all that time on the road?
It was just a very emotional journey, walking 1,000 miles. When I got there, it was more so an outer body experience. I don't know how I felt because, I really wasn't there. I remember one thing during the walk. Somebody said, "Terry, turn around and look." And when I turned around and I seen the wave of people that were following me, I was already overwhelmed. That just took me to a whole another place.
You hadn't really been aware of them or maybe just peripherally aware of them before that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when I started the walk at the Mall of America, I think I probably had 1,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I turned around, it was probably like 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. The fact that I could bring these people together and they are now here supporting and walking with me.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling, again, it was very emotional. And, well, I can't say one. I knew once that I got, like, when I got there, it was just like, I have to leave something for George Floyd. The presence, he was there when I got there. He watched me walking. I felt that. So I took the shoes off my feet, and I left from there. Because I just felt like he inspired the world to stand up and do something and fight for change.
Mm-hmm.
He also inspired me. His death inspired me to walk 1,000 miles across the country. So it was a spiritual awakening. I felt like I connected with George Floyd once I reached the final destination, and it was a blessing to do that. If I had to do it again, I would.
Tamika, you obviously you followed the rest of Terry's journey. Were you able to actually watch the moment when Terry crossed the finish line?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Uh-huh.
I definitely did. I mean, you know, I made sure that I watched. I think I can't remember. I just made sure that day specifically. I was like, I got to make sure I see him get to the location.
Yeah.
Because to know that this man walked from Huntsville, Alabama, and I think it hit me a little bit differently because I was able to experience a little bit of his journey.
Yes.
To see him cross the finish line, I think I was more emotional. You know, like I teared up. You know, just like he did it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. So absolutely, I wouldn't have missed that moment. So it was definitely a very emotional moment for Terry as well as myself, and I know so many other people.
I imagine, in a sense, it kind of made you feel like you were part of something that was bigger than yourself at that point.
Oh, absolutely. Like, Terry, I don't know if he remembers this, but I remember when I got a chance to work on him that second time when we were in Clarksville. I remember, Terry, I don't know if you remember this, but I said, "Terry, this is so much bigger than you. Like, I just feel like this is so much big." Yeah. I was like, I said, "I don't think you realize the capacity. This is so much bigger than you." And so, Yeah, at that moment, you know, like, you know, in telling him that, it's like, wow, this is huge. And then, again, I don't feel like, you know, if this is not about me. I just feel like he said, I feel like I was just called to do a part to help him complete his journey as it relates to making sure his body was well. Because even after he left Clarksville and even after I left St. Louis, you know, he mentioned his cousin Sherry, who has really orchestrated everything. Mm-hmm. I was on the phone with Sherry every other day. I don't know if Terry knows this, but I was on the phone with Sherry. I had PTs and massage therapists lined up to treat him if and when he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. like, you know, it was just like, okay, hey, where is he going now? You know, mm-hmm. and that was just my way of helping serve him. Because again, I told him, like, I know my role. My role is to do my part as it relates to your body to make sure that you complete this journey. So I was able to help you here. I was able to help you there. But I can't be there in these other places. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my part to get you connected to people that can do, you know, serve you to help you get to that next city.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Terry, you know, from what you said, it sounds like your body, obviously from Tamika's standpoint, you were having issues and everything, but you didn't really feel a whole lot of it. I mean, do you think it's just because you were so driven and your purpose was so powerful that you just kind of didn't feel the severity of maybe some of the physical conditions you were going through?
I'm gonna be honest with you, Eric. I gave up the third hour after I started walking. And that was from the beginning. God himself, or he sent someone to grab my leg and walk for me the rest of the 997 miles.
Hmm.
That's why I didn't feel a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was an ease for me to get out of the sidewalk. I mean, think about it. I started June 2nd. I am now in Las Vegas, still walking.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take full credit for that because I didn't walk. Somebody was pushing me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a complete outer body experience.
Eric, I can attest to that too. Like, just like I said, being a PT and, mm-hmm. you know, like knowing what the body needs and knowing what's normal and this, you know, that's what every time I kept saying, Terry, is your back hurting? Are your hips hurting? Nothing else is hurting you but this little blister. He's like, no, you know. And many times I was baffled too. So he really, in the times that I saw him, the biggest complaint that he had was his foot,
mm-hmm.
that foot.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you know, whether, yeah, it baffled me. But I knew, mm-hmm. you know, from just the training as a PT, it's like, okay, we want to do some preventative stuff, but it was phenomenal just watching. Every time I would talk to his cousin, like, is he hurt? Is his back hurting yet? Like, I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
I'm waiting, but
yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. It really was. So, yeah.
But Terry, you did feel like Tamika helped you in some way. I mean, was it physically or just kind of emotionally? What kind of support did you feel like she provided to you during that walk?
Honestly, both. And when she was telling the story, I almost interjected because, we definitely had a moment that night. Like, I broke down in front of her. Didn't know her at all. Completely broke down. So she's seen firsthand how emotionally drained I was.
Mm-hmm.
It was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was actually, she was taping me up. And then we just started talking, and I let her know, like, that's when she said, Terry, I don't think you realize how big this is.
Yeah.
And I told her I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, brought it to my attention. She made me realize what I was doing
mm-hmm.
and how impactful it was. And I believe at that moment I just completely broke down because you got to keep in mind. I just started walking there. I just started walking. I didn't think I'd be talking to you. I didn't think I would get national attention. I didn't do it for this.
Right.
I wasn't even prepared. on camera. I have never made a live until the day I started watching. So it was just, I had to adapt and I had to understand my purpose in life. And I feel wholeheartedly I was built and designed, and everything that I went through, from foster care to juvenile to jail to prison, everything I went through built me to this exact moment. Because, Eric, let me tell you, to walk 40, 30, 40, 50 miles a day, that's not an easy path. Everybody can't just do that.
Right.
That's when in the heat, the space that I was walking through, so many times I wanted to stop, but I kept going.
So, Terry, I noted earlier you plan to continue your efforts to make a difference after the walk by starting a nonprofit organization with funds raised through a GoFundMe page. Can you talk about that effort and sort of about your future plans to what you hope to achieve in terms of battling racial injustice and inequality by helping other people? For instance, you said you're in Las Vegas right now.
Yes. So we're on an 83 tour, bringing awareness to the people who have lost their lives to these cops, these police officers, and justice. And I'm walking, and I'm going to these exact locations that these people have died to pay my respect. There's so much going on right now, and I feel like it's not just with the system. I talked to a group of children in foster care yesterday, and I was invited to the meeting, and it was at Reno, and wonderful children, wonderful staff, and we're bringing awareness to that as well, you know, the children that are getting mistreated in the system by getting placed in different foster homes and not even actually getting to know the children. So it's just bringing awareness to everything that's going on in the world right now, the mission and the journey that I am on right now. I will end this journey in D.C. on the 28th for the march. So we put this together just because, I'm going to be honest, Eric, I felt like they heard us for the 1,000-mile walk. But now I feel like they need to, I don't know if you've been following me, but it's the same for when I walk and they say that I'm choo-choo and they say that I'm ee-ee. So it's like double that when you say it twice. So right now I feel like they've heard us, but now they need to hear us. And we're going to show them by just continuing to do what I've been doing, raising awareness, letting everybody know what's going on in the world. Even in California, Skid Row, hundreds of thousands of homeless people. I don't even understand how that's possible. So I just want to, and a lot of people didn't know that LA, and like, they didn't know that was there. They didn't know it was like that. So the fact that he chose me to walk throughout this country and bring awareness to a lot of very important matters that are going on within our community is it's outstanding. I'm privileged, like I told you, to be able to do this. I don't care who's watching. I don't care if anybody's watching. I will continue to do what I'm asked to do.
Tamika, I want to ask you, I'm wondering, you know, pursuant to all that Terry has just been talking about, I'm wondering if part of what drew you to Terry was the fact that he was walking for change, justice, and equality. I mean, our healthcare system has well-documented inequalities, inequities that keep people of color from receiving care that can help them. So I want to ask you, Tamika, do you see yourself in a sense as an ally of Terry's in trying to make the world a better and more just place, except from the health care side of things in your case?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think, well, one, yes, I definitely do see myself as an ally to Terry. And my platform is the healthcare system, you know, because I do, unfortunately, we do see it on, I do see it on a daily basis, the injustices or the inequities that African Americans or people of color do face, you know. And, you know, as an African American myself, you know, I'm really a patient advocate. And so a lot of times, you know, my role in helping give people more of a voice is to instill confidence in, to let them know, listen, you know, you are the patient. It's okay for you to go in here and ask these questions, you know. And I say that when people are referring to or speaking to their physician, I don't, you know, some people get intimidated when going into speaking to their doctor or going into a clinic or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's like, no, this is your body. You have to advocate for yourself. And just because, you know, if somebody's not listening to you, if you don't feel like you're getting the care and the treatment that you need, guess what? It's your right as a patient to go elsewhere and to go where you feel you're being cared for and heard. So absolutely, you know, I'm definitely, I think that is one of the main reasons not, you know, I did see a need that I could help Terry, but I could identify with that. And it's like, I don't mind joining together to bring about awareness, you know, in my sector as well. So absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Terry, it really takes an army of allies, doesn't it?
Absolutely. When you were talking earlier and I was explaining this, I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, the people who've helped me along the way. Mm-hmm. And I said Fred Williams and my cousin Sherry. But also, man, one of my brothers, Anthony Brown, like, who's known as TB, he went the last 500 miles with me. Mm-hmm. And although the first 500 was important, he was the reason that I got through those last 500. Him, Sherry, and my cousin, Ashley James, known as Coach AJ, she has been in my ear for the last 15 years. We knew this moment was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate her. TB, Anthony Brown, he knows how much I appreciate him. That man carried me across the finish line. And Sherry, she's watching and listening right now, orchestrating things, doing things that I can't, that wouldn't get done. I don't even know if this would be possible without her.
Mm-hmm.
So with them and starting the 80-day tour, another brother of mine from Huntsville, Alabama, originally from Jamaica, who's sitting in the car with me right now, helping me through the first leg of this 80-day tour. Hmm. These people are sacrificing to be with me. Children, leaving their children. Some are working, leaving their work. I'm a handful, Eric, and Tamika does that. I'm a handful. I'm a handful. But I'm trying to be humble. I've changed during this journey, but these people who are my team, Ashley, Anthony Brown, the Heaston, Sherry, Fred, Tamika, like, they have helped me more than they know it. Mm-hmm. I thought I can do it by myself, but without them, I wouldn't even be sitting here talking to you right now, Eric. That's the honest to God truth.
Mm-hmm.
And one more person, and oh man, he's gonna hate me for this. Travis Bass, a brother. J. Cole, a brother. They work in the background, but they are doing just as much. I love them all. I love you guys all, and I appreciate everything that you guys have done and still are doing.
Well, Terry Willis, Tamika Duncan, thanks so much for joining us on Move Forward Radio.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Eric, for taking the time to bring awareness to what Terry Willis is doing. You could have been doing anything in the world, but you're talking to me right now, and I want to personally thank you for that.
Well, it's a very important story.
Thank you for listening to Move Forward Radio. Insight from our guests is for informational purposes only and should not be used as a substitute for individual treatment by a medical professional. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Or find previous episodes at ChoosePT.com, the official consumer information website of the American Physical Therapy Association. Find a physical therapist near you at ChoosePT.com.